she's really good. You're listening to Ramble Room.
You sure are. And guess what? We watched Camp Rock. If you couldn't tell from Melissa's intro.
Whatever, major loser. You're listening to the Ramble Room.
Oh, do you want to do that instead? Okay. All right. Guys, I'm not going to miss an opportunity to bring up Drew Seeley. Okay? Never will I ever miss an opportunity to talk about that beautiful, beautiful man who could have done so much more. Apparently, he was up for the role of Shane Gray, for crying out loud, in this movie, but lost out to the Jonas Brothers. Found that out on the same podcast that we found out the last fun fact from yesterday. Not yesterday, last week. But truthfully, here's the thing. This movie introduced me and my sisters to the Jonas Brothers. And I remember being a little girl, and Caitlin and I had similar taste in men, okay? But we couldn't, because that made Caitlin upset. And so I remember her saying, basically calling Joe Jonas as her crush. And so I had to pick one of the other brothers, even though I thought Joe was the hottest. So I ended up picking Nick. And, you know, he's a cutie patootie. Loved him. My world was torn apart when I found out he had diabetes. And I don't know why I thought that would affect me more than it did. I just remember him coming out about that. And I was like, Nick Jonas is going to die. And I think a lot of us thought that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then Melissa didn't really care.
No.
So she didn't really. We just kind of gave her Kevin. And honestly, best pick.
Yeah.
Looking back on it. So yeah. So we watched Camp Rock. Will you give us your one sentence pitch, Melissa, please? For the love of all that is holy.
Absolutely. Mitchie gets the chance to spend a summer at a prestigious music camp.
Now this one, don't remember if we watched it when it first, like I don't remember waiting up for it to release. I do remember getting up early to watch the second one when it aired.
Yeah, this was very much Disney Channel being like, we just came off the high of three huge High School Musical movies.
Yeah.
Now let's try to replicate it. And they did fine, but it's not High School Musical.
They
I'm sorry.
They did fine. It's not. They end up, like, I feel like they didn't replicate it at all. I do think, though, that they kind of gave up after Camp Rock 2 of doing, like, a series of musicals.
What are you talking about?
Stop. For a chunk of time. Up until, like, Descendants.
You're completely forgetting there's Teen Beach Movie. That was before Descendants.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're wrong.
Here's the thing about me. I love Teen Beach Movie. Teen Beach 2, kind of a flop. Say what you will. Some of the songs are good.
Is Zombies musicals?
Yes, and but that's after Descendants,
right? So they did Lemonade Mouth, which wasn't a series,
which was a one off. Let It Shine, which was a one off.
Yeah,
which was also a musical.
I mean, technically, Cheetah Girl started it. It's Cheetah Girl's fault.
You're absolutely right. High School Musical is what like kept it.
Yeah, I just. Yeah, I think like they were like,
they
now
started
we're
started it, and mm-hmm. then they hit their stride with High School Musical.
And then they're like, now we're only going to do musicals. And people are like, you don't have to.
I don't know. Do they do any Disney movies that aren't musicals now?
Yeah.
They do?
Is The Girl vs. Monster a musical?
It has musical elements.
But that's like most Disney Channel. Like Smart House has a musical number in it.
I guess you're right. I guess and you know what? We'll find out because we're going to keep watching all of these. I promise.
We sure are.
We're nearing the end of the rainbow.
We still got a long way to go.
Shut up.
I just let went me through live them in and my there's a lot of fucking movies.
I know, but I feel like these ones are gonna go by faster for me because I've watched them and I'm a fan of them. Then we're gonna get into like the new people territory. So I fear like the chunk of time that I'm like, I grew up watching this and I know it backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Is going to go by really fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, what were you going to say?
I was just going to start the movie. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So Mitchie is in her room. She wakes up and is way too happy to be waking up. And
yeah,
starts singing a song immediately. Well, she's not specifically, it's like her singing, but over a montage of her getting ready for school.
And this was our introduction to Demi Lovato.
Yes, it was.
And Demi was doing this and Sunny with a Chance and then Princess Protection Program all at the same time, which is insane.
Well, that's because usually I think Disney does this whole thing where if they sign you on to something, they do like a contract of like, well, you have to do at least 2 movies with us and then the show or whatever for 3 or 4 seasons.
Well, and then she also had to do an album.
Right.
So,
which that's funny because when Hilary Duff wanted to do music, Disney was not supportive and that's why she left. But now that's
the opposite.
It's basically Hilary's fault. She was so successful that Disney was like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, because they did that with Selena too. Selena too. They were like, okay, Selena, you're doing a movie. You're doing Wizards of Waverly Place. You're doing Princess Protection Program. You're doing an album and you're going to do the Wizards movie whenever that started happening.
Right.
So like,
yeah,
granted it was like a few months into whatever, but yeah, or maybe a few years. I mean,
and I did not notice that she has a Connect 3 poster in her room.
Which, that is the fictional band that is the...
Jonas Brothers.
Jonas Brothers. And what's funny to me is that I feel like she's a Connect 3 fan. She's just annoyed because... It's like when you have a favorite band and then one of the members starts acting out. And you're like, I guess maybe I shouldn't like this band as much as I do because this guy sounds like a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Or this person sounds like a jerk. I'm trying to think of a real life example of that.
There's a ton.
Give me one. Give me an example.
I mean, Justin Timberlake, NSYNC.
Yeah. But that was after.
Oh, no. That came out recently.
I'm saying he got canceled after NSYNC was done.
Well, yeah. But he was still a jerk then.
Well, yeah.
Like Ari was saying, Mitchie's watching Hot Tunes, which I guess is like MTV. And they're reporting on Shane Gray. Is it that he's like yelling at the paparazzi or something?
He's just out like of control. They don't really expand. Oh,
they don't say what he's doing.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's just like Shane Gray is causing drama, blah, 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 blah.
I feel like
he
got
into... Is this the same high school for Minutemen?
It could be. It was right after.
Oh, her best friend who we never see.
Yeah, Sierra is Mitchie's best friend in school, and we only see her in this scene when she's at school.
Because even in the next movie, Sierra does not come back.
No.
She did not make a lasting impression. She did her single scene, and Disney said, we're going to cut ties with you, kiddo.
And Mitchie is talking to Sierra about Camp Rock, which is a music camp that she really wants to go to, and over breakfast while she's talking to her mom's like, I don't think we're going to be able to have you go. We don't have the money to support you going. And then she comes back home from school. Very short scene at school. It's the only time we see her there. And then, what was the point of her going to school, actually? I have a question. She went to school to talk to her friend.
To talk to Sierra.
And her friend goes, you're not going to go to Camp Rock? And she goes, no. And then she comes back. Maybe it's just so that they can show there's a passage of time so that the mom had time to talk to the Camp Rock people.
Because here's the thing. She comes back home after working at Barney's Burgers, where we serve burgers with a smile. And then she says, what are we having for dinner? And her dad goes, burgers. That's the funniest thing. And then the mom is basically like, oh, I can't keep it in anymore. You're going to Camp Rock. And it's Maria Canal Barreras. Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah, I think so.
Fans of Wizards of Waverly Place will know her as the mother in that.
She ended up figuring out a way for them to go, and she'll be catering Camp Rock.
Yeah.
Because she's a chef, right?
Yeah.
So
Connie's catering.
Right. She's specifically a caterer. Oh my God, I can't speak. She's specifically a caterer. So she arranges for that, meaning Mitchie can go for free. Mitchie is so excited. They arrive at Camp Rock. There's a kid playing drums on the bus, which I don't understand how he wasn't getting in trouble for that.
There's a kid dancing.
There's a limo that pulls up and a blonde girl comes out.
Kid contorting.
And her hair is blowing all over the place. And
you can just tell that she's too cool for school.
She's too cool to know you.
Don't take it personal. Don't get emotional. We know that it's the truth, okay? Megan is too cool for you.
Mitchie and her mom go to their cabin, which is a really nice cabin, by the way.
Yes. And then a hot man walks in, and his name is Brown Cesario, and he's Australian.
Do you think he's hot?
I do. And okay. I have since I was young.
Really?
I'm not going to lie to you. It gives Steve from Blue's Clues energy.
Okay.
He just seems like, look at him. He just looks like, maybe it was because he's Australian. Maybe it's an accent. It's the accent. I'm realizing it now.
It's the accent.
Well, he introduces himself as Brown Cesario and lets the mom know. I guess he's just welcoming her, right?
Yeah, but then he's also, I feel, flirting a little bit. He's he starts name dropping. He's like, I knew Jagger.
I toured with Aerosmith.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
And Mitchie leaves the cabin before Brown can see that she's her. She's Demi Lovato.
She's her daughter. Maria's daughter. Sophie's daughter. So then, you know, Mitchie's doing what everybody would do.
Walking backwards
through a camp you've never been to before. And she runs into Tess Tyler, the diva of Camp Rock.
And honestly, I can't be mad at Tess for being like, watch where you're fucking going, because I'd be the same.
If somebody bumped into me and didn't go, well, no, I think Mitchie does say she's sorry.
She does.
But if somebody bumped into me, I'd be like, why are you walking backwards?
What are you doing? And then we meet, what's her name?
Caitlin.
Then we meet Caitlin, who's sitting on the stage. Caitlin. And she's got a computer with her. And the most 2000s outfit ever.
And Caitlin basically explains that Tess is the mean girl. She's the Sharpay of the story, okay? Yes. And then she explains that she's also a music producer. And she goes, check me out. And plays a techno beat, to which Mitchie goes, cool, I'm Mitchie.
Check me out. She's like, I'm a producer. What? How does that make her a producer?
I don't know.
Whatever. Either way, we get some really cringy stuff with like the...
D.
Is she like a counselor? Because Brown's the director.
No clue.
If Brown is the director, who is she?
An old woman with red hair who does Vogue moves when she's introducing things. I don't know.
Anyway,
she says holler.
She's really cringy.
The whole movie, can we be honest, is very cringy.
It is.
And I live for it.
There's a lot of plaid theme in this. Like,
and straightened curly hair.
Caitlin's skirt is this pink black plaid. And then we cut to the Gray Brothers, Connect Three, in the limo. And Shane's guitar case is also plaid. Like, and it's black and
Kevin's,
white.
Kevin's,
I guess it's not plaid, it's checkered.
Kevin's, what is that, scarf is also kind of checkered.
Yeah.
But you can tell that Joe and Kevin have chemically straightened hair for these movies. And for whatever reason, they didn't make Nick do it.
Nick was allowed to keep his pretty curls. And for some reason, the other two weren't.
You know what? I think that was just a Joe and a Kevin thing. Like, they as people
wanted to have the straight hair, right?
Nick was like, I'm not doing that. That looks awful.
Shane is being punished for his attitude.
Bad behavior.
And his brother's like, you did this to yourself, man.
It's been a very naughty boy. That, for a camp all about rock and performances, that outside stage is lame.
Yeah.
It is. Four pieces of plywood on dirt.
Shane is living with his Uncle Brown, who is the camp director. So we find out he's their uncle. And this is kind of his... I don't know. Is he supposed to be there the whole summer? Because he's also like weirdly teaching classes. He's like serving as part teacher.
It's like community service type of thing.
I guess so. He's not like a student.
Oh,
there.
That's right. So Hot Tunes, they say, I think the only information they give you is that Connect Three is canceling their tour because Shane Gray is acting out.
Okay.
That's, I think, the only information you get.
I feel like it's supposed to be Shane, because he keeps talking about how he wants to do like something musically different.
Yeah.
And he and the studio are arguing. Or like he and the producers of the album or whatever are in disagreement. And so maybe that's where like the attitude problem is coming from. Anyway, Mitchie is helping out her mom in the kitchen and then she leaves, hears Tess and her friends, which it's, what are her friends' names?
Peggy
and
Kathy.
Kathy.
What's her name? Jessica?
No,
Stacy. I'll look it up.
Okay, great. Ariana's going to figure out what the two girls' names are. It's Peggy and then whatever the other girl's name is.
Peggy, a.k.a. Margaret Dupree.
Oh, yeah. So Mitchie comes across Tess and these two friends. Peggy and
Ella. Never in a million years would I have guessed that.
All right. Mitchie comes across Tess with her two friends/cronies, Peggy and Ella, in her cabin singing, "You think you're hot, but I'm sorry, you're not exactly who you think you are." And Tess is being like a stage mother. She's being very controlling picky. Of the two and picky and like, we have to get this perfect. Mitchie is spying on them. And then Mitchie goes to an empty, it's like a mess hall,
practice
right?
room.
But it looks like a cafeteria when she walks in. Anyway, it has a piano in it, and she's singing her song, "This Is Me."
This is real.
This is me. And we also, before this, had seen Shane Gray on the phone with his brothers saying, "I don't want to stay here," already complaining. And then,
whiny little baby.
Campers, girls start chasing him, and he runs and hides in the bushes. And while he's hiding, he is in the same, he's not in the building, but he's outside the same building that Mitchie's playing in. And he hears her song and is like, it's like,
it's a real Cinderella Beauty. Story.
She does not lose a shoe. She does not lose anything.
Go watch a Cinderella Story, Once Upon a Song, and you'll know why I said that.
Oh my God. I don't care about Once Upon a Song.
I do.
So yeah, Shane walks into the room and he goes, "Hey, what were you?" And then no one's there. So Mitchie like played her song and fucking dipped, which is so unrealistic for like a student who is practicing music. Don't you think? They'd be there for a long time.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
They'd, as somebody, and the fact that she played it and sang it perfectly the first time and was satisfied.
Incorrect.
Right. She would be there practicing over and over again. Well, Mitchie is saying to her mom, "I'm nervous about meeting all these new people." And her mom says, "Just be yourself." Can you guess what's going to happen? She's not going to be herself.
She's going to lie.
She lies pretty quickly. She meets up with Caitlin.
That is one of my least favorite tropes in movies.
Yeah.
Like, lying, miscommunications are my least favorite tropes in movies. Because I'm like, all right.
Because there's always going to be a reveal, and it's always cringy when it happens. Like, it's uncomfortable to watch, which is
Mrs.
the point.
Mrs. Doubtfire made me want to unalive myself. I did not want to be alive after I saw his face come up over his face. Guys, go watch Mrs. Doubtfire. The Heimlich scene great. Makes me vomit, gag internally. And then we get arguably the best song.
Yes. So she meets up with Caitlin. Caitlin's introduces her to Lola. Is that her name?
Yes, Lola Scott, whose mother is on Broadway.
Oh, I forgot about that.
She is singing a pop song.
So she's like the super talented person that honestly probably shouldn't even be here.
Correct.
She should be somewhere better. But she sings an awesome song.
And in real life would have won the talent show at the end. But whatever.
But she sings this great song.
Who's got what it takes to be? Part of me feels like this girl won a contest or something.
Yeah, because she's got a big number in this. Like, she's got a whole dance.
She's got a big number for being a extreme side character.
Right. Like, we don't really see her after this.
Nope. She's, like, in the background for most scenes.
Yeah. But it is a fun number.
And the one guy from Shake It Up is in it. TJ.
After this number, Mitchie comes across Tess, Ella, and Peggy. Now, when I say this for future reference, when I say she comes across Tess, let's just assume Ella and Peggy are behind her because it's almost every scene that's true, right?
Yes.
Okay. So she's talking to Tess and they're like introducing each other, but also making fun of Caitlin in the process. Like Tess is like, you shouldn't be hanging out with her, right? Isn't this where she says that?
No.
It's kind of like Draco Malfoy.
Tess is just unimpressed with Mitchie. Like, she, because she sees her with Caitlin, she's like, okay. And Mitchie is being like, I'm a big fan of your mom. Because Tess's mom is like a big star.
Is a musician. Yeah, she's a singer.
And so Tess is already unimpressed because she's like, okay, like, of course you're a super fan. But she happens to share the last name of the guy, of some famous guy.
And Peggy's like, oh, your dad is a producer? And she's like, no, he owns a hardware store. Then they like walk away because they're unimpressed. Yeah, you're right.
And so then Mitchie decides.
She's going
to
lie.
I need to.
She goes, but my mom is president of Hot Tunes China. Hot Tunes TV China.
Let's be so real, babe. No, she's not.
She lies Big time.
Through her giant teeth.
And then she just keeps saying more lies. She's like, I was in 3 music videos last year, which
giving,
she wasn't.
It's giving Ben Feldman's speech in The Perfect Man.
He deceived.
He's like, it just keeps spinning until you get a bunch of lies and you're in a big web of lies.
And what it's is in the background.
But I think they talk. I feel like that exact scene happens in Freaky Friday. With the high stoner guy.
I thought that was just him explaining Hamlet. I can't remember. We will review Freaky Friday. That's part
Don't
of our.
Don't worry.
Don't worry. We'll get to that.
It's in a long time, so calm down.
So Mitchie ends up getting invited to live in Tess's cabin with Peggy and Ella. She tells
her mom.
Which
is far better than living with your mother.
It is. But the reasons that she's being invited are, you know, because she lied about who she is.
Here's my question. Why didn't Caitlin invite her to live with her?
I don't know.
It's kind of. Is Caitlin really a good friend?
Well, as we find out, she doesn't really know who her mom is either.
No.
So Caitlin also thinks her mom is.
Well, because Mitchie's lying to everybody. Nobody knows who her mother is except for her and her mother.
I just
Even
feel like.
Even Brown doesn't know.
If I were friends with someone, I would want to know where their cabin is and be like, oh, I got to go figure out where you're at. So if I want to hang out, I know where to go. But they didn't do that.
No. It is weird.
She moves in with them, and then doesn't she find her music notebook?
Tess does. Tess sees it in her bag or whatever. And Mitchie's like, oh, it's just some songs. It's not a big deal. And then they're like, sing for us.
Yeah, we want to hear you sing.
You know how that happens to you all the time?
And she does sing a little bit, right?
Will I be? It's up to me.
And then
they're like, you're good. And Tess is pissed that she's good.
Yeah.
But it's Demi Lovato, girl. What do you want from her?
Mitchie then sneaks out because she's going to go help her mom in the kitchen and she doesn't want anyone to know that she's doing that.
She can't have people know that she's poor. I'm sorry, a catering company that's got a job, booked a job at a camp.
Yeah, I don't know.
An expensive camp with famous people's kids.
I don't
know.
She's
obviously doing well enough. That's what's so confusing to me.
I feel like we could define them as like upper or middle class. They're on a higher end of middle class.
You could, but I don't know.
You'd have to look up.
Her dad owns a store.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
And her mom has what I would assume is a successful catering company. If you're going to a camp for famous people's children, and I say plural because Tess and Lola.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying. And it's expensive enough that they were worried about not being able to afford it.
Right.
She's got to be, I don't know.
You'd have to look up how much you make as a caterer.
I'll look it up.
All right, great. Mitchie goes to the cafeteria in the morning. She runs into Caitlin, and Caitlin is kind of calling her out for hanging out with Tess. She's saying, Tess can be really nice to you until she's not. So she's saying she's fake. Then Mitchie goes and sits with Tess and lies about where she was in the morning. We cut to Shane Gray getting woken up by his Uncle Brown, and Uncle Brown throws a vase of water at him to wake him up.
Entry level is $25,000 per year.
That is so fucking low.
Correct. That's entry level, though. I'm assuming if you're hiring her.
So what's the highest
for this
you can
camp?
Make?
An experienced high-end caterer can earn up to $80,000 more per year. Or more per year. Which isn't like crazy amounts of
it's
money.
It's still under $100,000. But yes, it is. But that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's like a higher-end middle class. Either way, Mitchie is in her first like music class. And Uncle Brown is teaching this one. Everyone wants to sing except for Mitchie. So Mitchie does not raise her hand. And Uncle Brown picks her immediately, which I'm going to say I don't like. I don't like when people
that.
Do this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, if someone doesn't want to, they don't have to. And I don't like that. I understand that it's a music camp. But I feel like picking someone specifically because they were the only one that didn't raise their hand is
messed
ridiculous. Up. So then she starts singing and
She's singing
with her whole
so
teeth.
Low.
With all of her teeth.
Well, she first sings so low that he can't hear her. It's the dumbest joke, I think.
And she sings the same song where she's like, who will I be? It's up
which
to me.
Is starting to make me believe that that's not what she sings. She sings This Is Me in the cabin because okay. Later. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got you. And everyone's like, wow, she's really good. And she's sure again, is. Tess is even more jealous. But she,
because someone new is getting attention,
exactly, and she decides to be sneaky about what happens next. She goes up to Mitchie and invites her to join their group as a backup singer.
Yeah,
she's like, "You're really good. I think you should join our number." And Mitchie, of course, wanting to be part of the cool girls, is like, "Yes."
Yeah, she's coming ahead.
Wow.
Everything you say is so irrelevant.
Then we have a small scene of Mitchie in the kitchen. Shane walks... Mitch in the kitchen. And Shane walks in. Mitchie, in order to disguise herself, shoves her head in some flour. And looks wild. And he...
looks wild.
He's giving attitude about something with the food, right?
He's asking if she got his dietary restrictions.
Oh, right. But he's asking in a rude way, and she goes, you could be not so rude. And
which
then
is not wrong.
Yeah, and I guess, like, he enjoys being called out because he doesn't have, like,
turned
a,
on by
yeah,
it.
He doesn't have a negative reaction to it. He's like, okay.
No.
And then he leaves. And then his uncle is getting after him and saying, you have a class coming up that you're teaching, and Shane does not want to do this, but he doesn't anyway. And now we're at this class that Shane's teaching, which is dance class.
Yes.
The best scene of the whole show. I say it like it's a musical.
The best scene in the whole, before intermission.
The best scene in act one.
I would agree.
And it's a dance scene.
It's quite funny.
I don't know why they were like Joe Jonas dance class. But they were.
And here's the thing, too. Joe Jonas in dance class, but not only dance class, but like a hip hop almost. Like they're trying to make it a hip hop class, and I just don't.
And what plays during this? Is it Start the Party? Or Stop the Party? What is the song?
Maybe.
Let me see.
Grab a hat and a mic.
Why do they need a hat for hip hop dance?
Hurry. Yeah, he's so sassy and unbelievable. Yeah, Start the Party. It is.
So Start the Party is playing. He's doing some interesting dance moves. It is not hip hop. I don't even know if it's any genre.
The tightest white pants that I've
White pants
seen.
Were very much in because earlier Tess was also wearing white pants when she arrived at camp. And wow.
Could you imagine wearing white pants to a camp?
A camp.
Those are going to get so dirty.
The dirt and
Here's
sand alone.
Why did they not have Allison Stoner teaching this class?
I know, right? Why did they make her a producer? She's a fucking professional dancer.
And has been since she was a child.
What are they doing?
Get it.
What were they doing with this movie?
Let's have Joe Jonas make them walk in a circle around
him. Have
him
be like a singer or even have him be a producer.
That's the thing. He is a singer. He produces stuff. He's not a dancer.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this scene is, but then the drummer
cast this all wrong. Let's recast it. Allison, it's gonna be a gay love story, and she's gonna be teaching love.
She's gonna be teaching love. Teach you how to love.
Teaching Mitchie how to love.
The drummer kid falls during the dance rehearsal.
Oh Lord!
And Tess makes fun of him or something. She goes,
what a joke.
No, that's later, Harry. You're skipping ahead.
I'm sorry. Wait. What
she says
she
something
saying?
Like, for someone with so much rhythm, she's like making, she makes a drummer joke.
I don't think she does. I think she says something like, talk about left feet. Something like that.
Harry.
Hang on. Let's wait. I promise. I promise it's worse.
Tess has the worst best lines.
I promise it's worse than you're thinking. Because Joe says, you've got really good rhythm. Let's nail it. Oh.
You're right.
Talk about dancing to the beat of a different drum.
I knew it was a drummer joke.
You did. I'm sorry. You were right. But then Shane goes, you've got rhythm in you. And he's like, well, now let's work on moving the rhythm from the sticks to the to your feet. Is that what he says? The rhythm's in your hands. Now we just have to work on getting the beat from those sticks to those feet. I knew it rhymed awfully.
This is terrible. Who wrote this shit?
It certainly wasn't Kenny Ortega.
Tess,
I don't think he was involved in this one.
You were right, though. It was much worse than what you had, Tess, saying.
I'm
talk about
you.
Dancing to the beat of your different drum.
Hey, Tess, talk about talking without sounding like a bitch.
Also, it's hilarious because if you watch that dance scene, Tess does not know what the fuck she's doing.
Oh, she's awful.
She does not know what she's doing.
Not for a second does she have it figured out. Allison is the only one who made it look remotely good.
We go to lunch.
Sorry, Caitlin.
We go to lunch and Mitchie's mom shows up and introduces herself to Tess and the girls. And they're all confused as to why she's acting like she knows them.
Why the lunch lady's talking
to us. Why is the caterer coming up
to
us?
I don't talk to lunch lady.
Then Mitchie lies again and says, you don't know who she is? She like caters for like Jessica Simpson, which is hilarious because that is such a 2000s reference.
Talk about, as Tess would say, irrelevant.
Shane is working on some new music, wants to have a new sound like we were talking about. And then we have...
And he was inspired by what he heard.
Oh, right, from the This Is Me number.
From the This Is Me spectacular.
We go to, what is this area? Is it a talent show?
To be completely honest, no freaking clue.
What's happening here is it's almost like there's a talent show before the talent show.
It's like an opportunity to practice, I guess.
Right, practice performing in front of people.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, but there's going to be something called the final jam, which is the like final talent show.
And let's be real.
Someone's going to win it. What's the prize for winning it?
A record deal.
It is?
Like you get to perform with Connect 3 and it's a record deal with their company or something like that.
It'd be cool if it's like you're an opener for their tour, that'd be cool.
That would be sick. But their tour was canceled because Shane's an idiot.
So that's not a guarantee.
No. So really,
that'd
you're
be
competing,
much cooler.
You're competing for maybe
an EP?
A CD.
An EP.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like 4 or 6 songs. Right. So then they do this like preview talent show. And this is the number that Tess was inviting Mitchie to perform with.
And it's outside by a campfire.
Yeah.
And
it's honestly kind of a cool setting.
The whole time, everybody who stands in front of that fire looks like their whole head's on fire. And that's what I remember from childhood.
And Tess performs Too Cool, which is a great number.
I'm too cool to know you. Don't think you ever thought of, don't get emotional. You know it's the truth. I'm too good with you. You think you're hot.
The shoulder.
Yeah, so the background singers, including Mitchie, are just moving their shoulders.
Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Is Mitchie like short for Michelle or something?
Maybe. I don't know. They're singing backup, but Mitchie is so unhappy singing backup.
She is not satisfied.
She'll never be satisfied. And then Caitlin says something to her after the performance like, did you enjoy that?
Did you enjoy singing backup?
I'm pretty sure that's what she says.
I think it is. You could have been the star.
You could have been the star at Final Jam, but instead you want to be a backup.
Is that... Wait, can I talk to you about this? Because yeah. I think... You know how there's the transatlantic accent from the 40s and 50s that took forever for people to like... stop doing in movies. Yeah. I feel like Disney Channel has this weird
era.
Yeah, this weird like effect to specifically girls' voices where it's like they always sound like this.
They have to talk. It's the theater kid. You were told that you need to have better diction, but it's turned in because you're at Disney. It's like bad,
or it's like just like if I have to be dramatic, I have to talk like this. And it's like, I had to specifically talk a bit higher
in order to get my point across as a woman in this world in Disney Channel. I must talk with this affection.
It is like an
affect.
Affect.
Affectation. That's what it's called.
It is like an increase in diction. And like your head moves more.
What is happening? But it's also an increase in saliva. And I don't love it.
I don't either. I hate it. But it is very common. Like, even Hillary Duff does it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think Hillary Duff may have started
it. It's that bitch's fault.
Tell her to tone it down a bit.
But, like, Vanessa Hudgens does it. Ashley Tisdale. Like, it's all just...
But what's funny is that Ashley doesn't do it in Suite Life. I'd say she does it a heck of a lot less. It's because she's playing the, like, mean girl role. But it transcends all of that.
But I'm going to argue it happens more in movies than it does in TV shows. Which I think is weird.
Hmm. You know who never did it?
Raven Simone?
Yes. There's one other.
Zendaya?
There's one other. Actually, I think Zendaya does in Shake It Up.
Oh, she does?
I don't think you've watched that.
Oh, yeah, I haven't. There's one other?
Yeah. Maybe Zendaya doesn't. There's one very specific.
I'd have to watch more of her in Shake It Up.
Yeah. One more specific that doesn't do that. It's from this era.
From this era?
Oh, Selena.
Yes.
Okay.
Selena never.
Yeah, you're right.
In any movie.
You're right.
She also plays like more tomboyish characters, and I wonder if that's why.
It could be.
She never, because she never, I don't think I've ever seen her play a bad person.
Right.
Like a Sharpay-esque.
Right. Isn't she kind of like mean in Hannah Montana?
Kayla. Yeah, but even then she's like...
She's not doing it.
She's like, she's more evil than mean, which I think takes away from that. But I will say Miley definitely did that.
Oh, yeah. No, I know
even
she does.
Even Emily did.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Lalaine would sometimes doing in Lizzie McGuire. Not all the time, but she would sometimes do that. Especially the more dramatic scenes.
Yeah.
It's just this weird thing where it was almost like because they were told this is a more dramatic scene, they felt like... their movements and diction needed to be more dramatic, and that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
But it happens so much.
Yeah. Anyway.
So Shane is playing the guitar by the lake. And Mitchie is she like also wanting to go practice? Because she's got her guitar with her.
She must be. I thought this was the scene with the chips, so.
Oh, yeah, no, that's later. She comes across him singing a song. She's like, I really like that song that you're playing. He's like, really? Because he thinks that everyone... wants the same shit that he and Connect Three have been putting out when he wants to do something different.
Okay, Nick Jonas in a few years.
Yeah.
After this movie.
Caitlin is in the cafeteria. She and Tess get into a food fight. And Mitchie gets in the middle of it. Somehow she gets brought into the office and is also in trouble, which I think is wrong.
Doesn't make any sense.
Why would she be in trouble for that? She was trying to stop it. But either way.
But Brown is like, yo, my office. I'm not kidding.
In my office. No. And then...
I'm Australian and I'm in charge.
And then he punishes them.
I wish he would punish me.
You stop. What is their punishment that they have to... Oh, help with the catering?
That's the thing. Tess doesn't get punished.
That is so messed up. I'm going to throw my remote.
Because
that Brown asks is who threw the food first, which is technically.
Caitlin. And Mitchie says, technically Caitlin. Because.
Tess says it was an accident that she like.
Tess tilts her plate.
Yeah. She did it though.
She tilts her plate and it's dry spaghetti that lands on Caitlin. And Caitlin is upset. And throws food. So Caitlin's the first one to throw the food. And Brown asks Mitchie, who was the first to throw the food? And she says, Caitlin.
Okay.
She took it a little too literally.
But let me just say, if it was you and your friend.
Oh, I would. No, 100%.
And then
Mitchie's
the one bitch.
The worst. Mitchie is not a good main character.
No, she's not.
She's a liar, she's a cheat, and she doesn't know the territory.
She's a fake and a phony, and she doesn't know the territory. So then Mitchie and Caitlin get in trouble and have to... Oh, it's just Caitlin?
Just Caitlin gets in trouble.
Oh.
I think Brown calls Mitchie in to be like an unbiased third-party bystander.
Oh. That is so fucked up of her. Okay.
Because Brown wasn't there to see the interaction.
You're right.
And when Mitchie finds out that Caitlin's punishment is to work in the kitchen, Mitchie is pissed. She's like, no. And yeah, then Brown's like, Caitlin's why?
Going to know her secret.
And Mitchie's like, because that's disgusting.
Right.
That's how she says. Then we get the guitar theme.
Yeah, so then we go back to the lake. Apparently, Shane has only been hanging out by the lake. He's supposed to be teaching dance classes, but he's not fucking doing that.
I think after the first dance class, Brown was like, you know, I'll take
Don't
over.
Do that anymore.
forget it. You can't teach shit, dude. I don't want you in there.
And he plays his new song for Mitchie.
Kids, all the kids are coming out dancing like crazy white people. And he's like, no, never again.
Shane plays his new song for Mitchie. And it's a long scene. And there's also background drums that don't appear anywhere in this
and
scene.
And we've complained about that since 2008 when this movie was released.
It's like, where are the people harmonizing with him?
Where's the drums?
Where are the drums that are playing?
Why does it sound like the Jonas Brothers are singing with him? they're not here.
Mitchie goes to the kitchen after this, and she's so excited that Shane played this song for her. And it seems like he likes her, and she likes him. And she's helping out her mom. But then she tries to hide from Caitlin because Caitlin comes in to help.
Yep.
And there ends up being a huge mess where the chips go flying. Mitchie trips on something.
The chips go flying one by one. Hurrah. Hurrah.
And then Caitlin says, this is rich. Remember how she says that? But again, it's the dramatic, like, this is rich.
It's really rich.
Yeah.
This fudge that's in my mouth. Now let's talk about the drama.
I can't. Meanwhile, there's wet chips in Demi Lovato's hair. Because she slipped on a mop pit. Who puts a mop pit in the middle of the kitchen and doesn't put a wet floor sign?
And doesn't it just end with Mitchie being like, are you going to tell anyone? And Caitlin says, no. And she says something like, I just feel sorry for you, right?
No, I don't know what happens. Play it. No, go back a little bit more. I want to see her say, though, this is rich.
The cook's daughter. She's your mom. This is rich. But apparently you're not.
Oh, my God, wait. Okay, wait.
Look at their face. Look at her
I
face.
I know, but like.
So cunty.
I know. Like, what the fuck? She got drowned in her lies. Oh, that's a good. Wait. We got to talk more about this convo.
Okay.
Okay, we're back from reviewing the scene. Like, it's like a.
We're back.
It's like.
I'm going to start talking like that.
It's like a photo finish. Like, okay, we reviewed the tape. And the winner is...
Caitlin has the upper hand in this.
She does.
She's got so many good lines.
She does say, this is rich. And then she goes, but apparently you're not.
Oh, tell me a better comeback.
Are you kidding? That's so funny.
Apparently you're not.
And then basically they have this little argument. And
she's like, you're going to tell everyone, aren't you? And
Caitlin's like, I should. But then Mitchie doesn't really have any good comebacks, you know?
Yeah,
like, Mitchie's just mad.
She starts accusing Caitlin and saying, you're hiding, saying you don't care about anything, but you do. And I don't know
and
if
I
Caitlin's
don't
really
Caitlin's
done anything.
Caitlin's ever said that she didn't care about anything, to be completely honest.
She didn't. She just said Tess is a bad friend. That's
literally
basically
that's
all
it.
Caitlin has done in this movie so far.
Well, and play some terrible techno.
I'm Team Caitlin.
We're Team Caitlin. But then because she's all wet and covered in chips,
yeah.
Her mom comes in and is like, what happened? And Caitlin goes, she got drowned in her lies.
she got drowned in her lies.
And if this were
she
a
says
reality,
it under her breath.
If this were a reality TV show, I'd eat it up.
It was pretty good.
Why has Disney Channel never done a scripted reality TV show? I mean
they did the Disney Channel games.
Oh, we need to bring it back.
But in like a more intense, like, no, we're for real competing.
Yeah.
So now Mitchie is with Tess. We're in the cafeteria. And now that Caitlin knows, she's kind of like putting in these little one-liner jabs while Mitchie is talking to Tess and the girls. And Tess is talking about them wearing matching outfits for... Here's another thing. We have another talent show right after this. Another thing, almost like an open mic... But it's slumber party themed where everyone's in like pajamas kind of. And they're all in like a cabin. It's a small little cabin. I don't know what's happening. But everyone is in PJs except for Shane Gray. And then Ariana's in the back making a snack in case you hear her laughing. She'll be back. And when Tess arrives, she is wearing like a much nicer pajama outfit, I guess. Although I don't know if it's that much nicer. But they're not matching, which they had agreed on, these specific outfits. And Mitchie's saying, why are you not wearing the shorts and hoodie sweatshirt we agreed on? Then Caitlin performs. She does this move where she hits her head. She hits her forehead with her fist and then body rolls into playing the keyboard. And then this is when we get the iconic line from Demi Lovato saying, she's really good. And Shane is into it. Everyone's jamming. And when Tess realizes this, she decides to sabotage the performance and says, oh my God, there's a snake in here. And it ruins her performance. And
there's a snake in my boot.
And it turns out it was just a power cord. Then Caitlin says, you did that on purpose. And Tess says, whatever, major loser. And then Mitchie actually like backs up Tess. What, am I missing a plot point, Ari?
Well, first you said that Mitchie backs up Tess and she does not.
Oh, sorry. Mitchie backs up Caitlin.
But firstly, Tess doesn't even say whatever, major loser. She just puts a W-E-M-L over her forehead. And oh, both yeah. Mitchie and Caitlin are like, what the hell is that? And so then Peggy or Ella has to explain what it means. Then Mitchie's like, backs up Caitlin and is like, whatever, major loser?
Wow, that's Tess.
Last year. I mean, everybody knows that. I guess not everybody.
I guess not everyone. And then the whole crowd's like, ooh, like she fucking got your ass, Tess.
Meanwhile, Shane's gone.
Then Caitlin and Mitchie are making balloons and the mom is making like CD cookies or something. Which, honestly, it's a huge cookie that she's making.
Mm-hmm. I did it.
And
I wonder what flavor.
Caitlin says, thanks for having my back in there. Mitchie says a line, I always stick up for my friends, which is not true. Because in literally two scenes ago, when she had the opportunity to stick up for Caitlin, she didn't.
With the whole spaghetti.
Exactly. But, okay.
And if she had, I guess Tess would have gotten the punishment and Tess would have told everybody, so.
Yeah, she would have been... Yeah, I don't know. But either way, Mitchie and Caitlin have made up. And Caitlin also says, I understand where you're coming from because I also used to be friends with Tess. Like, it's fun being with her. Mm-hmm. You feel popular. You feel important. But it's not worth it when she's a fake friend.
Hello, my name is Joseph Trudy, but you can just call me Trudy.
And I'm Trudy.
And you're listening to QVC, HSN, NBC, ABC, the AFG. Now, today I have a special product straight from a friend at Camp Rock.
This isn't fresh off the market. It's from a friend at camp. Why are you going to camp? It's winter.
I'm not going to camp. He lives at camp.
He lives at camp?
Yes.
In the winter?
Well, he lives in California, so that's all season.
Oh, okay.
I really hope that's where this movie is based.
Okay. Well, I have no fucking clue.
But his name is Brown Cesario. And, okay.
He's Italian?
He's Australian.
What? His last name is Cesario and he is Australian?
I think he could be Australian-Italian. Just like I am.
Well, sure, I guess
just
so.
Like I am Spanish-Russian.
Okay.
Anyway, my friend Brown, we are selling Brown's Lactaid.
Okay. That is disgusting. What the fuck is that? Brown's Lactaid?
Lactaid.
Lactaid. What the fuck is that?
So you know how when you drink cow's milk or you eat the cheese or you eat ice cream or you eat popcorn with butter on it or you eat...
Yeah,
things with dairy in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're sitting there and you're going, man, my tummy, it just really hurts. Or you're going, oh, I got terrible heartburn from this. You know this feeling?
No.
This feeling can be, oh, you don't?
My heart only burns for one thing.
And it's me.
No.
Oh, it's murder.
No.
Oh, what is it?
Why would you bring up murder?
I didn't. I said, what the fuck is wrong? I said mother.
I don't want to say who it burns for, but it's a person.
What does it burn
for? I'm embarrassed. I don't want to talk about it.
What does it burn for?
I don't want to talk about it, Drudy.
Drudy, I respect your boundary, but I also am dying to know who your heart burns for.
If you guess, I'll tell you. I'll say you're right.
Is it Fred?
Oh my God, well, how did you get it in one? What the fuck?
I knew it.
How did you get that in one?
I knew it. Because his heart burns for you too.
No, it does not.
I promise you it does.
He's a few years younger than me. It feels
wrong.
He
likes an older lady?
No, he doesn't.
He does. He told me. He told me that he thinks you're a cutie pie.
No, he did not. He would never say cutie pie.
Fred and I go out for weekly drinks, and he told me that he does like you. He got a little drunk.
And why wouldn't you relay this information to me?
Because I didn't know if you were looking or not, if you were open to it.
And you didn't ask me why. We've known each other for how long?
16 years? That's correct?
Exactly. So why the fuck do you think that you couldn't ask me that question?
I know I didn't think that I couldn't ask you. I just didn't want to ask you. We've never talked about that. Do you know my dating life? My situations in life?
Yeah, you're single.
No, you don't know if that's true or not.
Are you single?
Yes.
Exactly.
But
what
my point
I thought.
Is, my point is, you don't know if that when that happened.
Drudy.
Well, let's be real, okay?
I remember I when your last know. Breakup was. I'm just saying.
Shut up. We don't have to talk about it.
We won't. I'm just saying. I know what happened.
But here's the thing. I tell you everything about my life. You tell me nothing about your life.
So?
So therefore, I figure you don't want to talk personal when it has to do with you. And so therefore, I didn't ask if you were interested.
Well,
in
now
you.
It's on the podcast.
We can delete it. Fred doesn't listen to the podcast anyway. He told me that. He says he scours the internet for the products for people that want to sell their fresh out the market products, and we sell it.
We should stop talking with Fred before I stop blushing.
We're gonna have to talk about this off podcast, though. I feel bad that I didn't tell you, but he's interested.
Fine, we will go and get lunch after this and talk about Fred. But right now, I'd rather talk about your fucking Uncle Brown's fucking lactate.
He's not my uncle. He's an uncle, but he's not my uncle. He's my friend, Brown Cesario. And he's selling Brown's lactate. And now that I hear it, he maybe should change the name to
he
Cesario's
really should.
Lactate. Because Brown's lactate just sounds bad.
It sounds disgusting.
I
you
mean,
could
I
at
mean,
least call
I mean,
it like chocolate lactate if you're going to do that.
I mean, it does fix the problem of when you've got your upset tummy after you've ate some dairy product.
You're
and
saying
you're on
it
the
works
toilet.
Well because it's poop related?
Yeah, I guess, but
I don't like it.
Anyway, lactate, it'll solve your problems of
what is it
your,
made of?
Of your body.
What is it made of?
Do you want me to look at the
no.
ingredients that
no.
you sent me?
No.
Are you sure? I'm
no.
going
Fred
to.
Will do that.
Oh, we're talking about Fred again, eh?
No. I was just saying because he does that.
You know, sometimes I wonder.
No. You don't wonder anything. You don't wonder shit.
I do wonder.
No, you don't.
Do you want to know what I wonder?
No, I don't. What do you wonder?
Sometimes I wonder if I weren't Fox Books and you weren't Disha Brown the Corner, if maybe...
Excuse me? Why are you going on a You've Got Mail monologue?
I just wanted to, because it felt funny. Anyway...
Well, now you just made this weird.
I don't think I could make it weirder than it already is. We're talking about brown lactate.
Okay, well, my lactate, God, how much is it?
Lactate contains lactase, an enzyme that breaks down lactose into glucose and galactose, which are easier to digest.
Okay, how much is it for gas?
$20 billion.
My God, that's super cheap.
It's just steel.
That's perfect for Christmas time.
The shipping is... $0 though, and unfortunately. Oh, I know, and it's a lot to ask you people, but
people are gonna hate that.
But Brown doesn't live here. He doesn't live where we are, and so that's why the shipping is so expensive.
Where the fuck is he?
He's in California. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Right.
So the shipping is so expensive because it has to get to us here in Washington, D.C. and back to you. And so we just...
$0 shipping. That's unbelievable. They're going to hate that.
They are.
But I'm sorry, audience.
But you can still, if you are interested, you can find this at Trinity.shop. Or you can go on to browncesariolected.com. And use code DRUDY30 and get a 20% off.
All right, great. Back to the podcast.
So you really like Fred?
Shut the fuck up.
After they've made up, we see Shane Gray and he's talking to his brothers about...
You have to call him by his full name every time.
I didn't even realize I was doing that, but you're right.
There's one Shane.
He's talking to his brothers about... He's like, I'm really getting inspired up here. And there's this one person's voice that I really want to find out who they are. So then word gets around.
And Kevin wants a birdhouse. Kevin, we didn't mention that.
Also, it's
Kevin's name is Kevin. Nick's name is Nate. Kevin. Nick's name is Nate, and Joe's name is Shane. They said Shane because Shane, I think, was the original character.
Yes, it was.
And then they hired the Jonas Brothers to do all three.
Right.
And so they were like, Nick, what could we name Nick? Nate. And then they were like, Kevin, what's another K name? Cal, that doesn't fit. Let's just call him Kevin. He just kind of gave up as they started naming him. It was great.
So word gets around camp. All of these people are now trying to kind of like nonchalantly walk past Shane.
It's very much a Cinderella story. A bunch of...
Like where they're all saying, I'm Cinderella.
Yeah. A little bit like Spartacus.
Spartacus?
Right? I'm Spartacus. Is that what that is? I'm Radio Rebel.
My God, you just mixed up Spartacus with Radio Rebel?
No, because that's a reference. That's a thing. Where they like all...
I didn't watch Spartacus.
I haven't either.
Okay, well, how do you know for sure then?
I don't. That's why I'm asking. What's the movie where they all say that they're that person? I'm looking it up.
Oh, it's Sex Education.
No.
It's My Vagina.
No, that's in reference to the thing.
Is it?
I think because okay. I'm Radio Rebel is in reference to that as well. I'm looking it up. I think it's Spartacus, but.
Okay. Well, I'll continue. They all are going around singing, start the party. And I don't know how that tells him whose voice he's looking for because that is not the same song. But they're kind of auditioning to be Mitchie, the girl that he's looking for. And then Shane is just kind of like trying to get away from these people. He goes on a kayak. Is it a kayak that he goes on with Mitchie?
Canoe.
Okay, it's a canoe. I'm sorry.
I think it'd be either one. I don't know.
I think you're right. It's a canoe because it's more hollow. So they're on a canoe out in the middle of the lake.
You just sounded like Tess.
Mitchie and Shane are getting to know each other on this canoe and... Shane is saying, you know what, that's what I like about you. You're just you. You're honest.
What I like about you.
And quite literally saying, that's what I appreciate it in people, is honesty. I can't stand being around fake people, which is hilarious because Mitchie is so fake. Tess ends up seeing that they're on a canoe, and she decides to do some investigation. She goes into the cabin, rifles through Mitchie's shit, and finds her journal of songs, and then she finds the song. This is real. This is me. I'm exactly where I want to be. And she says it just like that. What did you find out, Ariana?
I didn't.
Okay.
But this is also saying that Radio Rebel is a similar in plot to the 1990 film Pump Up the Volume starring Christian Slater. And I feel like we need to add that to the list.
You know how much I love my Christian Slater.
Oh my God, yeah, we definitely have to watch that. Take a screenshot of that.
I just did.
And then we'll add it to the Google Doc. But nothing?
I'm continuing my search.
All right. We're now at an assembly, kind of, where all the campers are assembled together to watch Connect 3 perform a song. And I'm going to say it's the best song. It's my favorite out of all the songs that are in this movie. And it's Play My Music. It's really good. Connect 3 is great. And after this performance, Tess decides to reveal to everyone that Mitchie is a liar. So,
okay. I don't know the plot of Spartacus as a movie, okay? But it is from that. And it's basically somebody says, you need to identify the body or living person of the slave named Spartacus. And somebody stands up and says, I'm Spartacus. And the person who is Spartacus stands up and says, no, I'm Spartacus. And then the whole crowd stands up and basically is like, I'm Spartacus. To basically be like, defend, you can't kill all of us.
Yeah.
And so there's a ton of movies and TV shows that have referenced that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was what it was.
But it's Spartacus from 1960.
Okay, cool.
That's Tony Curtis and Kirk Douglas.
Okay, cool. I'll have to watch that.
Me too.
Tess ends up revealing, how does Tess find out that Mitchie's mom is Connie?
She sees her and Caitlin leaving the kitchen together.
Okay.
When she's doing her investigative reporting.
As she was doing that and finds the notebook, she walks out and sees them leaving the kitchen. She's basically
stalking Mitchie to find out a way to break her and Shane's bond up.
Right.
And she finds it.
So she reveals to everyone that Mitchie's mother is Connie the caterer.
He's a slave. Delete it. Cut it.
Pause it. What the fuck?
I meant to say servant. I meant to say servant.
The way you said it is so funny.
I said it so matter-of-factly. She's a slave. Like,
I meant a servant.
I mean, you could sit. You are recording?
I thought you had stopped.
Wait. Go. Anyway.
Ariana's canceled 2024.
Connie a slave.
That's hilarious.
She's getting paid.
It's just the way you said it. Is a slave. Wait, cut it. I didn't mean that. I meant to say it's servant.
Delete it.
She's a servant.
Oh, guy.
And then Shane is pissed off. And he's like, after our conversation about how honesty is most important to me, you're a fucking liar. And they're all mad at her. And, I mean, yeah, they should be.
Yeah, she lied about everything.
And Caitlin feels bad, but she also was like, you did this to yourself, bitch. But she's still going to, like, you know, stick by her and
he goes, I thought you were different. Even Joe Jonas is subject to the Disney.
Yeah, I thought you were different.
Can we start calling it the Disney Transatlantic?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, here he is teaching his dance class.
I mixed up the plot order. She's investigating and finds out Mitchie is Connie's daughter. And then after the reveal, she goes into the cabin and finds Mitchie's songs and is like, this is real. This is me. I'm exactly where I want to be. So she finds out that Mitchie is the girl Shane has been looking for.
Right.
I thought it was before this.
And I remember when I watched this movie for the first time, I was like, oh, crap. She's going to start singing that song to Shane to, like, take credit for it.
And like Tess Little Mermaid?
And Tess never does that. Yeah.
She's Vanessa in Little Mermaid.
Yeah, but she never does that.
No, she doesn't. She don't really do anything with that information.
Does. Oh.
What does she... Okay, we'll talk about it. Hold on. Let's get to this part.
Okay. Sounds good.
Because clearly I don't remember this movie as well as you do.
Well, I was more obsessed with this movie than you were.
Yeah, that's true. Mitchie is in a corner sulking, and Shane comes in for the dance class. I'm pretty sure he's wearing the exact same outfit that he wore.
No, this time he's wearing black pants.
But it's the same t-shirt.
It's the white pants from before. They're just so dirty now. They're stained black.
And he goes on this whole rant where he's like...
he's wearing like a striped shirt in the dance scene. It's a black and gray striped shirt.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry. I clearly wasn't paying attention to what he was wearing. Other than his pants.
You have to pay attention. Disney fashion is everything.
Yeah, it sure is. And he goes on this whole rant about, like, being yourself and how important that is.
Because none of it means anything unless people see who you really are. You got to sing from your heart. Stop lying from your ass.
Stop lying from your ass. You got to move that beat from your sticks to your feet.
And that's on poetry, babe.
Mitchie feels terrible, and her mom confronts her and says, why would you lie about who I am?
Yeah, I would feel terrible, too, if I lied to everybody I knew.
And, like, you hurt
him. And got caught.
And you hurt your mom's feelings by saying you're, like, ashamed of your mother. Caitlin or Mitchie walks into the cafeteria and she's trying to find a place to sit. And Caitlin goes, yeah, you can sit here, I guess. Yeah, liar. Like, she's joking with her.
Yeah, yeah. She's there joshing around. Yeah. You know?
And everyone else is kind of over it.
Everyone else at the table is like, yeah, whatever. They're being chill. Lied. Well, here's the thing that makes me feel like they've all done it before, is that scene of literally everyone at that table being like, Mitchie, we like you. Even though you lied to us, we've all done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then Mitchie stands up to Tess in the cafeteria.
And then we get a fun little montage.
Well,
you were going to talk more about, you were going to expand on that. She stands up to her. She moves out of their cabin.
She moves out of the cabin and she's no longer part of the number. So Caitlin says, we'll make our own number.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we're in montage.
Now we're in montage land, as Disney would have it. And we're basically getting like, oh, it's 4 days, it's 3 days, it's 2 days, it's 1 day to final jam. They're doing a countdown. People are dancing, they're practicing, they're singing, they're having a good time. After this montage happens, this is where we get to see like what Tess does with the knowledge of Mitchie being the girl that Shane is looking for.
She's trying to get her to not compete at all, right?
She's trying to basically silence her. Were you silenced? Mm-hmm. Why, were you silent or were you silenced? And Mitchie is being silenced because Tess basically takes her charm bracelet that she's had since the beginning of the movie. We didn't talk about it because guess what? It's really from her
mom.
Doesn't matter.
It's from her mom.
It's 24 karat gold. And basically she goes to Brown and she's like, hey, my bracelet's missing and I'm pretty sure Mitchie stole it and has it. And so Brown's like,
mad at me.
So Brown's like, well, let's search the cabin or search the kitchen. It's a weird thing. They search the kitchen. They find the bracelet because Tess planted it there. Because Tess's plan is basically, if Mitchie can't sing at Final Jam, Shane can't hear Mitchie sing
her song.
Shane won't know that Mitchie is the girl that sang. And therefore, their division will stay. So that's her masterful plan.
Yeah.
She's, to be honest, way more brilliant than what I thought she was going to do.
I mean, it's a good plan. It doesn't work, but it was
it's giving evil stepsister. It doesn't work, but another Cinderella reference. Interesting.
So Mitchie gets disqualified.
And Brown Cesario
specifically says,
you cannot perform until the end of Final Jam. The end
of Final Jam. And he says it twice, right?
And so then, yeah.
He, like, confirms.
He's like, I'm telling you.
Did you hear me?
The end of Final Jam. And they're like, yeah, we get it, dude. Shut up.
And then Shane and his brothers are going to be judges for the
They're going to be judges. Final so jam. The brothers show up at camp.
Yep.
And they're like, dude, like, let's hear this song. Or no, that already happened. Did they already perform? Play more music? Yes, they did. They're not so, there.
Caitlin and Mitchie have
a plan.
They're
standing on the dock of the bay.
Yeah.
And Mitchie's like, Caitlin's like, he just kept repeating it. The end of Final Jam. The end of Final Jam. And then Mitchie goes, or is it the other way around?
It's Mitchie's the one that says the end of Final Jam.
Mitchie's like, he just kept repeating it. And then Caitlin's like, I have an idea. So they flee. Then we get to the final jam.
They flee.
Then it's final jam.
We're final jam. And Tess and her girls.
They're having an argument. They're fighting. They're getting a little catty.
They're tired of being her backup singers. They're tired of being treated like trash.
Yes. And Peggy's like, you know what?
I'm fucking out.
I quit.
And Ella's like, I agree. So now Tess is on her own.
They both are done. They're like, we give up. And guess what? Ella immediately finds a group and she's like, I know your song. I've been listening. I've been viewing. I've been observing. Let me hop in on the girl's part. Kick Lola out.
Hold on.
Can I assume that was Lola's part?
I don't know why.
Because Lola's not in a number.
Yeah, I'm just going to guess we didn't see Lola's number and that she had her own solo since she's
My guess is that Lola's mom came to get her early.
She was like, you're going to actual Broadway. These assholes
don't
know what
to do. Flying you to New York. There's an audition for you. And Ella fills in for Lola. And she sings with TJ and the guy who does contortionism.
And they sing a song that sounds like Gasolina.
But it's Hasta la Vista. H-A-S-T-A. Hasta la Vista. You know what we didn't mention? The girl who plays Ella, she is not Amber, the other mean girl. Oh, no. I've forgotten her name, from Hannah Montana.
Mm-hmm. It's another A name, right?
Amber and Ashley. She plays Ashley.
Yes. And we get another performance after that. Thank you. Tess is performing with just a bunch of mirrors, which my question is, what was the number with the backup singers? Because
she recovered it well.
It's very much just a solo number. Mm-hmm. And her mom shows up.
Her mom shows up, but then her mom leaves because she gets a phone call. And that really throws Tess off. And then we get a terrible, amazing shot of Megan, the actress, crying backstage. And
well, you can tell, 'cause she like trips over something because she gets distracted by her mom leaving. And you can just
tell that she's a great, great fake crier.
No, she's not.
She's probably the best fake crier I've ever seen.
Are you kidding?
Beats the kid in Heart and Souls out of the water.
Oh my God. No way.
Anyway. So that's like their last act. Brown comes out. He's like, that's it. And then something happens. The redhead D, she comes up and she's like, Brown,
we've got one more.
And he goes, give it up for Margaret Dupree.
Ella says, who's Margaret?
And then Peggy walks in.
She goes, I'm Margaret. And she walks out with a guitar. Honest,
she sings a banger of a song. I should learn how to play this song.
She does. It's like, here I am. Here I am. But also there's like, Sam. There's this weird montage of everything we've seen in the background.
But here's the thing. Peggy is not in enough scenes to make a montage.
I know.
And so it's just things that we've seen 5 seconds ago. Literally.
Like literally, the argument in the backstage of Final Peggy Jam. The
argument where Peggy quit.
Is in the montage.
You know what it reminds me of? Moving her arm. Ripping her arm away from Tess.
You know what it reminds me of?
Holiday in the Sun.
No, The Challenge.
Oh, even better.
When
I knew it was Mary-Kate and Ashley.
They've only had their secret romance for about a couple days. And then there's a montage of everything they did in the last couple days.
They go, we have so much content to show you and not enough time. So here's a montage of the little we could show you.
But the song is really good.
It's a banger.
Then she gets on with her number.
And is it my favorite song? No.
She gets done with her number, goes backstage, and Tess says,
that was really good.
Peggy.
She's really good.
That was so good, and I'm so sorry.
That I dimmed your shine.
She does not say that, but yeah.
And then Brown comes back out, and he's like, now that's the end of Final Jam.
And then he's like, wink, 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 nudge, nudge.
Yeah, get what's happening, folks. And then all of a sudden you hear a in the background.
It's like American Idol.
Dim the lights, Kieran.
And Brown goes backstage. Caitlin and
Mitchie.
Every
time we call him Brown, I just think of poop. Like, it's crazy.
Poop goes backstage. Mitchie and
the
Caitlin.
The turd leaves.
Mitchie and Caitlin are back there and say, it's the end of Final Jam.
And Uncle Turd's like,
he's like, I was hoping you'd understand my fucking obvious clue.
And he goes, go, kick, kill.
No, he doesn't.
It's 10 p.m. almost. Ariana's losing it.
So Mitchie performs her song, This Is Me.
She's got Disney knees up the wazoo.
And Shane is like, that's the song. That's the girl.
And Shane does this really fun thing.
With his mouth?
He mashes up his song with her song. And before he starts singing, he goes.
He does some weird shit with his mouth. And he goes, you're the voice of he.
Like, you know what's funny? Is I feel like I've done that exact same thing. Not the same thing. Not. But I have been singing and felt my whole lips being dry and have waited for a song that's for a word that's like the, and in the, I've gone the, licked my lips because it is hard to sing with dry lips. And you can tell he's been wearing chapstick because you can see just like a mustache of chapstick above his lip in this whole scene. It's glistening a little too much there, Joe. So he sings this. It's one of the best songs. And
I like the mashup. Yes. I was just saying
them standalone, not great.
I was just saying to Ari before this that his song by itself is not good.
No.
But it mashed up with This Is Me.
It needed Demi. And I think Demi is the first female vocalist. Nope. I'm not even gonna finish that sentence because it's not true.
What?
I was gonna say that does like crazy runs, but I think that Chanel is in Cheetah Girls. She's the one who is the first female vocalist to do runs.
Pretty much all the Cheetah Girls. But yeah.
Cheetah Girls.
All right. So they get They get done with their performance. They don't kiss. And
well, they had their purity rings. They couldn't.
Oh God. Okay. So they go backstage. Obviously, they can't win Final Jam, but at least they got to perform.
Right.
And Mitchie's parents are there. The dad comes back when he was only here for one scene, so he's here for a second scene.
But at least the dad came back. Sierra didn't come back at all.
But honestly, we were worried that Uncle Brown and the mom were going to have a thing, so I'm glad the dad came back.
I'm glad the dad did come back. Just in time. Because Uncle Turd was ready to slide in those DMs.
The winner is announced. It's Peggy.
It's Margaret Dupree.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
Is Peggy her? No. Margaret is, but Peggy is short for Margaret. That's one of those like Richard Dick situations that I've never understood.
I'm not sure.
Bill and William.
Yeah.
Bob and Robert.
Yeah. She wins, and then we end with the number We Rock.
Get Rock! You know, they have a song in each movie that says Camp Rock out loud.
Yeah, they also...
That's unfortunate.
They also tried... They were like, this is going to be our We're All In This Together. And it's just not. It's not We're All In This Together. I'm sorry.
They did have a teach You How to Dance this one on Disney Channel, and I did learn it.
But what dance? You're just pumping your fist, right?
No. There's choreography. Choreo. It's not Kenny Ortega.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, not Kenny Ortega.
Imagine Camp Rock in Kenny Ortega's hands.
Oh.
It would be awesome.
That's the thing. I only ever trust Kenny Ortega with musicals at this point. Yeah. That's not true, but kind of. What's your moral of the story, Mel? You can do the obvious one.
Why do you have a special one?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying it can be very obvious. I feel like it is.
Yeah, the obvious moral of the story is that if you're going to pretend...
I thought you were going to say the obvious one is and like go completely non-obvious.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Erase what I just said. You can delete it. Cut everything. Cut me out of the podcast entirely this episode.
Well, actually, now let me think of an even less obvious one. Hold on.
Okay, got it.
The obvious moral of the story is that if you're going to go to camp and you're going to be teaching dance classes and you're going to be running around camp, do not wear white pants. Don't do that.
Yeah, no.
What's the real obvious moral, Larry?
The real obvious moral is if you're going to pick a lie, pick a convincing one. No. Don't lie about your life, folks. Just tell the truth.
If people don't like
you, if people don't like you for who you are, tell them to go away.
Go away.
There's simply no time in this life to pretend to be something you're not.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's exhausting. It's so much easier to just be yourself. Even if people hate you.
Because one lie leads to more lies.
As Ben Feldman taught us in The Perfect Man. Cheese. All right, guys, we love you so much. Why do I keep doing that?
I don't know, but I guess it's going to be your thing now. You're just going to confess your love.
I love you.
Bye.
Deal with it. Bye.